Praise and thanks be to the Lord for the great privilege we have of being here and having fellowship with God, hearing His word and responding to what He says to us. I believe we all feel the same way, namely that God reveals Himself every time we read a scripture, that God not only had eye and ear witnesses, but that He also confirmed the word Himself. Even if we wait for the final things, we must never forget that everything that happened from the beginning must also happen until the end. If you had to translate a sentence today that says something like that those who do not believe God and go astray ignore Mark 16, but all those who believe not only heed it, but God fulfills what is written there. And we hear it again and again in Brother Branham's sermons and wonder how long we should stand by and watch the enemy trample on the inheritance of God. Perhaps we need to go forward in faith and trust the Lord. Looking to ourselves, we will certainly not get far. But looking to the Lord, we may go forward. We have all read along here. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. This is a word that we must not overlook or pass over, but ask the Lord to help us to act on it in faith. We too are eyewitnesses, ear witnesses of what God has proclaimed. And when it was read here that the proclamation began through the Lord Himself, He has begun it. He will complete it. Everything has its origin in Him. In Him it has its fulfillment. And we can trust Him completely and utterly. But I think perhaps I and all of us need to get serious and realize that if God cannot reveal Himself as He did at the beginning, then something is missing. And if we don't miss that, then we are not just missing something, we are missing a lot. It's bad when things don't materialize. It is even worse if we don't miss them at all, if we are satisfied with them and pass them by as if everything is fine. No, we are entitled to every blessing that God has given us in Christ, through the cross, through the redemption by grace. And we may stand on this victory ground of Golgotha and believe every promise and also accept it and expect it to be fulfilled. Here, a lot has already been said before and afterwards. And then, of course, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That's us, you and me, or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedst him with glory and honor. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. We really have to see it that way, that all the power of Satan has actually been defeated. I have already said it today, that this evangelist in London said that he was not afraid to fight the devil, because he was confronting him after all. And he made this statement. He said that it gets bad when you have to fight with believers who are themselves possessed by the devil. And it hits you very hard. It really hits you hard. But maybe there is some truth to it, especially since we translated the sermon of Brother Branham, where he speaks clearly about these three circles: the outward, the body, then the spirit, then the soul. And he says you can be anointed in the spirit with a true Holy Spirit and be lost in the soul and go to hell. And for us, of course, this is not entirely understandable at the moment. But if you read the scriptures properly, and you have to, we are encouraged to do so. Then we realize what it is all about. The life is in the blood, and life is in the soul. When God created man, he didn't say, you are a living body or spirit, but he made him a living soul. Every soul that sins shall die. The Lord came to redeem our soul, to set our spirit free, and then to give us his spirit as a down payment on the redemption of the body. Sometimes I think that Satan simply keeps us from the greatest blessings of God through some thought or circumstance, and we can't move forward as we should. And surely God will help us to look to him, not to circumstances, but to him. The Lord is above all. But as already mentioned, if it is written here, and that in the letter to the Hebrews, which was written last, and no one needs to doubt that Paul wrote it, some are still guessing and puzzling. But if you read the last chapter, the last verses of chapter 13, you will find exactly the same wording that Paul used in all or many of his letters. It says here, I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. This is very much the style of the Apostle Paul. And we know that he was probably the only one of all the apostles who had a thorough knowledge of the Old Testament and whom God was able to use in an extraordinary way to connect the Old Testament with the New and to show the fulfillment. I don't know if you have noticed how he mentions three or four scriptures in a row here, namely here in Hebrews 2 from verse, yes, second part of verse 11, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, now Psalms 22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, Isaiah 8, 17, I will put my trust in him. And again, Isaiah 8, 18, behold, I and the children which God has given me. This is a characteristic of a true servant of God, that he does not speak by heart, but from within. You know what that means. Going back to the Word of God, showing the believers, the redeemed, God said this in the Old Testament. Here he fulfilled it. We could read chapter 1, verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Psalms 2, verse 7, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, 2 Samuel 7, 14, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. We could read on here in verse 10. You can see for yourselves how often he referred to what God had spoken through the mouth of the prophets from the beginning. And these are just a few letters that we have today. What do you think if we had sat there in the upper room until midnight and listened to him? What depths would have emerged from the Word of God? But thanks be to the Lord, he is the same, and we can still draw today. I believe that God had a man like Paul in this generation, but there is always only one Paul and only one Peter, only one James. There are never two, three, or four copies of such men. They only ever exist in a single version. Each one does or carries out the ministry to which God has called him. Then we have all read along here that we have not yet seen, or here in verse 7, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedst him with glory and honor. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. I think this verse is also worth pondering a little. Everything, every sickness, every sin, all of Satan's power has been put under his feet. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. They didn't go there voluntarily and lie down. They were subdued with power. And that is why the Lord has given us power over all the power of the enemy. It would not be possible otherwise. How could we face the enemy? We would never be powerful enough. But because a perfect sacrifice was offered on the cross of Calvary, and really all things, as it's written here, for in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Nothing is excluded from submission. all things. He is and remains the absolute victor of Golgotha. He is the one who overcame. For a short time he was made lower than the angels. He took on the form of a servant and was then crowned with honor and glory and sits at the right hand of the majesty of God. Then it goes on to say, but now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who for a short time was made lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, or endure death. Whatever is said here in the various translations, it did happen. And if we read to this 1 Corinthians 15, then we know what is not yet subject to him. Here it is clearly stated. In 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 25, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. Beloved, that is a divine fact. And once we see this correctly, it will be easier for us to believe, easier for us to accept what God has already given us by grace in Jesus Christ our Lord. Of course, it goes on here in Corinthians, but we don't want to give a funeral speech. But the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And when that has happened, that the resurrection and the transformation have taken place, and that we escape death, that we don't have to die first, but are changed, then even death will simply have to admit that it has been defeated and that there is a multitude on earth to which it no longer has any claim. And that are the overcomers. These are the elect who will live at the return of the Lord. On them, death no longer has any claim. And we can exclaim with Paul, death, where's thy sting? Hell, where's thy victory? And then we can confidently say that the enemy bruised the heel of the Lord, but he has crushed his head. The sting was in his heel. He died. He could never have died otherwise. But it was precisely this promise from Genesis 3:15 of the seed of the woman and then the seed of the serpent. And Satan entered into Judas, the betrayal and everything, and death stung him. When you hear the question here, death, where's thy sting? Then we can confidently say, death, you have thrust your thorn into our Lord, and he has swallowed up death. Death is swallowed up in victory. Thus it is written here. Perhaps we should read it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, and then also 56. Death, where's thy sting? As written in Isaiah 28:8, Hosea 13:14, and so on. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where's thy sting? Hell, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a marvelous gospel that we have, and I wish with all my heart that God could be so gracious to us and draw so close to us, work such a desire and trust in us that we can meet Him, so that even the impossible seems possible to us when we look up to God. We can only honor God through faith. Through unbelief, we dishonor God. Through faith, we honor our God. One more word caught my eye here, because we talked about the sacrifice or the altar last weekend, and I had to think of this one word from Psalm 15. It says here in Psalms 15, from, you could read a lot, but let me read from verse 4. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Gather me, my saints, or my law-abiding ones, depending on the translation, doesn't matter, in any case, his own shall be gathered. Gather my saints together unto me, my righteous, mine elect, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. He made the covenant with us and said, this is the new covenant in my blood. But we must give our yes to him, and not just somewhere and somehow, but where he was sacrificed as the Lamb of God, where he made the covenant with us, namely, when he became the sacrificial Lamb of God on the cross of Calvary. Beloved, many are believers, but they bypass Golgotha. They seek their salvation in religion, whatever it may be, and in some doctrines, Christian or otherwise. But as I have said often enough, we can only meet God where he has met us, and we can only find him where he has revealed himself on earth. He has revealed himself in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. In him we have been made sons of God, and that is why he is not ashamed to call us his brethren. And that is why he said in the Gospel of John, in chapter 20, after his resurrection, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. He has put himself on the same level as you and me. And when Paul says here that he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all come from the same Father, the same Spirit of God who begot Christ, the same Spirit of God has born us again unto a living hope. We are the seed of God, just as he was the seed of God. We are sons and daughters of God, just as he was revealed as the Son of God. These are all marvelous, profound, and wonderful truths of the Scripture, and we must fully grasp them in faith. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. God made the covenant on his part, but in the sacrifice, on the cross of Calvary, there is only one way to glory, and that is through Golgotha. There is no other way. There is reconciliation, redemption, and full salvation. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And then comes the verse, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness. Since when have the heavens rained down righteousness? When the work of redemption was done on Calvary, and the Lord tarried with his disciples for another 40 days, and then ascended, and then the 10 days of waiting, and then the power of the Holy Spirit descended to continue the work of God through the church. Did not our Lord say, "The works that I have done, you will do also"? And just as well he said, "It is not I who do these works, but the Father who dwells in me, he does his works." And so both are true. When we read here that God also bearing them witness with mighty signs and wonders, we could right away read in the book of Acts, chapter 4, that by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought. Maybe right here from Acts 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. The people only saw the hands of the apostles. They did not see the outstretched arm of God that was with them, the right hand of the Lord. They only saw the apostles laying hands on them, and they saw signs and wonders taking place. But it was God who made it all happen by grace. And I think we can't just bring a doctrine to the people, but it has to be a doctrine with divine authority. And we as the church must now prepare ourselves that God wants to do the same now at the end as he did at the beginning. The believers were gathered with one accord, and the place was shaken. God could speak, God could work, no matter who he took, whether a Peter, a Philip, a Stephen, whoever they all were, or a Paul, all were used by God, each in the way that pleased the Lord. That's how it should be now, by grace, at the end. I will never accept that things will stay the way they are now. And I don't think any of us can in the light of the Word of God. We can't. We must earnestly ask God to be with us and to confirm his word as he did then by grace. Praise be to his holy name. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this hour of grace, that we may once again be gathered here in your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus, that we can thank and praise you, Lord. For this is what we are called to do. Lord, if we do not do it, who shall do it? We as your people, as your chosen ones, as your saints and your beloved, Lord, whom you purchased with your blood, Lord, for you shed your blood for us on the cross of Calvary. There you cried out, "It is finished, Lord." We are so thankful you have come. You have humbled yourself for a short time. But now, Lord, you are sitting at the right hand of the majesty of God and will soon appear, Lord, to take your own home. Lord, we thank you. that we can expect your soon appearance. Your return, Lord. We believe your word. We trust your word. For we know, Lord, what your holy mouth has spoken, you will also fulfill it, Lord. Praise to your wonderful name. And even if the storms rage around us, and if it is dark, Lord, but you have become our light and our salvation, and therefore we praise you and worship you, even in this evening hour. We thank you for your precious and glorious word, Lord. We do not want to forget, but we want to remember it again and again, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to your wonderful name. Receive the honor, receive the praise and the worship, Lord, from all our hearts and mouths. Also in this evening hour, you, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. To your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Amen.